Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 67, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. And thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 67.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and are of chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, But first, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And a whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever had, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away, even that he had. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came, and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we have heard in these moments out of thy holy word, the words which thou thyself hast spoken when thou wast here upon this world. And thou art ever the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou didst make a distinction, a separation so often, when thou didst speak also by way of parable, in order that thou mayst show unto men, and that it is not every man that saith, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of God. And so that warning comes also in a special way to each and every one of us who are within the outward church and under the administration of word and sacrament continually. But then we are those that do of ourselves rest. We seek rest here below when we ought to seek that rest that cometh from above alone. O Lord, that thou may remember us in thy mercy, because that word, the seed of thy word, and that is also coming unto us Sabbath after Sabbath day, so that it is falling freely among us. But then there needs to be place, there needs to be room ready to receive it. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may thyself do so. For thou must be the first one. For we have no place in our heart for thy word. All the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that is ready in a moment to choke anything that would begin to grow. The heart that is so hard and that there is no place for it to penetrate, and the birds of the air, they are so quickly there to take it away. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember us as a congregation. Also in this afternoon and in these weeks, when we do attempt to make those so necessary distinctions, in order that each and every one may observe within himself whether that work is right or whether it is not, and how stands it between God and my soul. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou would search our hearts, and that Thou would try us, and that Thou would see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, that Thou may grant us the unction of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to discern, that we may be able to know the truth of the matter, and that we would not deceive ourselves on our journey to that great eternity, only to receive a great disappointment. And when Thy all-searching eye shall penetrate into the inmost recesses of our hearts on that great judgment day, and when Thou wilt rise up, and when Thou wilt give command unto Thy servants in that day to bind them and to carry them away, and to cast them into that eternal pit where hope shall never come. Oh, do give unto us open eyes and understanding hearts to know that we live in a day of grace and in a time of salvation. Oh, that we may be given to put away all that distracts us in this world from day to day, and because our life that is flying away, and that we also were witnesses thereof when in the week that is gone by, one of our community was laid in the grave. Oh, she was not so very old. But Lord, Thou dost ask no questions. Oh, then we need to be prepared for that day, we and our children. And the calling has come in this week also in the midst of us, when a young man so suddenly was placed before the gates of death, but Thy sparing hand over him that was so very, very great. Oh, we may acknowledge Thee, Lord, for him and his wife and his children and family together. But oh, could it please Thee and not to allow us to go on in our stupor wherein we are by nature, because these things will never move us unless Thy Spirit does move us. O Lord, come Thou in us and in our children, and with Thy Spirit wilt Thou grant the quickening of the dead, that we may receive that new and that living desire after the true and the living God. Oh, that this world and all that is contained therein may become vanity and vexation of spirit to each and every one of us. That in the coming season, as the house visitations are taking place, and that it may be evident also in a great way by Thy Spirit, that Thy Spirit does work among us, that there is a sorrowing after God. Oh, that there is a fleeing from all the ways of sin. Oh, Lord, that we may see this work among us, and yet Thou dost give. Oh, we may acknowledge Thee in an outward way as such a love amongst us still for to give for the poor and for the church and for the school and even for us their minister. To give support that Thou givest the ability not only, but also such a willing heart. O Lord, could it please Thee also to give fruit upon it, and that Thou Thyself may remember us together, and that there may be a great love for one another, and that our souls would not perish. Wilt Thou remember all the afflicted and all the sick? There are the children that do suffer broken bones. There are older ones There are those that have received surgeries. There are widows, widower, there are orphans. Thou knowest each and every one. Lord, oh, that the afflictions, oh, that our light afflictions, that they may work a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. Oh, that we may be given to enter into those afflictions, wherein thy son, thy dear son, was afflicted here upon this world. Oh, that we also may enter into that glory that he has purchased for his church. Oh, that it may not be only in a temporal way that we have to suffer in this world, but that it may be that our soul may carry a burden over this world that we cannot rid ourselves of. Oh, that we may need thee to take off of our shoulders. Lord, that thou mayst so work in the hearts of young and old together. Wilt thou supply for us in this hour? Oh, that thou may go before thy holy word. Oh, send thou out, Lord, thy light and thy truth in this hour. For it is a solemn subject that we must try to bring in the midst of this our flock. And who is sufficient for these things? Oh, we beseech thee. Thou knowest where that thy people are, and that they are able to say, all my desire is before thee, and all my groaning, Lord, that is not hid from thee. But so often then they are beseeching thee, that thou would show whether it is thy work or it is their own work, and whether thou hast begun with me or I have begun with myself. Oh, that thou may give us wisdom then in this afternoon to make those discernments, and that there may be indeed food and gladness for those who are thine own, and that thou wouldst uncover us, O Lord, if indeed that we are traveling to that great and never-ending eternity with a lie that is in our right hand. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. We announce Gerwin van Hagenbos and Heidi Sudendahl hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, October the 30th. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Tuesday, October the 27th. And the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. Psalter 417, stanzas 1 and 2.
Beloved congregation, we have heard out of the Word of God that the servants have asked the householder if that they should gather up the tares also. And the answer of that householder was nay, lest ye root up the wheat also. Thus it is not the task of God's servants now to weed out those tares. That is the task that is going to be given to God's servants later. And what is the reason that the Lord does not give that task unto his servants now? That is because of the very close resemblance of those tares unto those wheat. But this is going to become much clearer later on. We can read in Bunyan's book how that Pliable has gone out with Christian. And then there is no man in this world, because he is not able to look into the heart, and that was able to discern the truth of the matter between these two men. But indeed, in the fruits, it did eventually become manifest. We are glad that it is not our task to make a judgment. But the Lord does give us a task, because the Lord says to his servants now that they must take forth the precious from the vial, in order that they may be as his mouth. And thus it is not the task of God's servants that they should try to discern between true and that faith that is not true, in order that they may say that this one may be a member and that one may not be a member, in order that we may make for ourselves a church that consists in this world in a visible way, only made up of the true children of God. That is impossible, because as we have read, and then there will always be within the church of God both wheat and tares. But we do have a task, and that task is that we may make a very careful discernment, that is for your sakes, that you may listen and that you may hear and that you may make a very close examination of your own hearts for the sake of your own soul. Especially today, we feel, congregation, so extremely unqualified in ourselves for our work. And why? Because we have to make a discernment between two things that are so very, very close to one another, and that are so very, very difficult to distinguish from one another. Because the time has come that we have to make a distinction between Siboleth and Shiboleth. And those are for each and every one of us a matter of life or death. But it is rather a something to be discerned by a discerning ear than something which can be easily explained. How necessary then that we are led by the Spirit of the Lord, not only in a discerning way in the preaching, but also in a discerning way in the hearing and in the self-examination, because the distinction that is rather inward than outward. With the Lord's help, we wish one more time to speak on that question of Lord's Day 7 of our Heidelberg Catechism, question 20. Lord's Day 7, only question 20: are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer: no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And we have been considering together true faith distinguished. And we have heard something of that distinguishing of true faith from historical faith. We have heard, secondly, something of that distinguishing of true faith from miraculous faith. And today, then we are to try to make that difficult, most difficult distinction between true saving faith and temporary faith. May the Lord himself go before us. Temporary faith. That is, congregation, a frightening thought. That my faith, that which I believe to be faith, that would be only temporary. That would be something that would one day cease. And that would cease, especially in that day wherein that I needed it the most. Or does that thought not frighten you? Temporary faith itself, that is not much frightened with that thought. Why not? Because temporary faith is actually presumption. And presumption, that is something that takes for granted. It takes for granted until that it is actually proven otherwise. Thus, temporary faith that is more concerned with my present rest than that it is concerned that I be right. Temporary faith that is more concerned that I be rid of those very uncomfortable thoughts of doubt then that my soul would truly be saved by the Lord, and that I would examine what my foundation is. It is true, God's children can be far from self-examination. It is true, God's people, they can have times that they are laying on a bed of slothfulness. But in itself, that true work of God, that is a work that desires to place itself before the countenance of the Lord. Thus we may examine ourselves in these moments, whether truly in our heart there is a cry, as we often sing, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting that is not merely that a man may search himself concerning that holy supper of the Lord. We hope to have that supper once again amongst us in a few weeks. And then many yes, and that ought to be everyone. Then we are searching. But that is a work that is really laying in the bottom of the heart of that saving faith. And there is something, young people, that when you will go in the midst of the world in which we live, which is a so-called Christian world yet, that you will find often missing, then that work of self-examination that is something that lies in the past, so that a man has it already. Temporary faith. Congregation, what if it is all temporary? My profession, what I thought was my trust, what if it shall all fall away on that great day of days? Solomon, he says, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Thus, are we a prudent man? Or will we prove ourselves to be a simple man? Passing on and passing over that close examination of that work of the Lord in our own heart with a profession that is before the eyes of men and for the sake of other men. You say, is there a way to examine this? Is there really a way to examine whether that work in my heart is a temporary work or whether that is the true saving faith? It is not easy. It is not easy. But the Lord Jesus speaks about it in this parable. Some fell, some seed that is, upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then in his explanation of it, but he that received the seed into stony places is the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The Arminians say there is one difference between true saving faith and temporary faith. And what is that? Well, they say that is what is seen in the end. That is the fruit in the end. That is the fact that the one will last and the other will not. And actually, there is no other difference. That is Arminianism. That is very understandable. Because that Arminian doctrine does not discern between that internal call and the external call. And that Arminian doctrine that says that call that comes to everyone in an outward way, and that the Spirit of the Lord gives everyone sufficient common grace to take hold of that lifeline that is thrown to them in the gospel. And therefore there is no difference, except that one endures and the other does not endure. And certainly that is a great difference. But certainly that is not the only difference. And that is very clear in the words of Christ. Because there is a difference already in the cause. Because temporary faith, who is the cause of that? That is whom? Say that is man. That is actually more than man. That is also the Spirit that is working in man. But it is working in man in a common way, the same way as we have seen in miraculous faith, so that Spirit of the Lord, He is also working in man in a way of temporary faith. It is the common work of the Holy Spirit. But saving faith, that has a different cause. That cause is lying in the saving work of the Holy Spirit. The saving faith that is rooted in election. Luke, he says, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, believe. Christ makes a distinction between that seed that fell on good ground and that seed that is falling on stony ground. Thus, he is speaking already about the foundation. Thus, what is the subject that is receiving that seed? That is that subject of that saving faith. The Lord calls it Himself a good heart. Where shall we find that? A good heart. You say we cannot find a good heart. Yes, we can find a good heart. A good heart that is a regenerated heart. Thus, the Lord shows in His Word the order of salvation that is the calling, the regeneration, and that faith is following upon it. That is not in order to regeneration, but faith is planted in that good heart. It is planted in that regenerated heart. Christ, He makes a plain distinction between temporary and saving faith in the preparation of that ground to receive that seed, in the preparation of that heart to receive that word. And He speaks about not much earth. Thus He says, there is a little earth, but there is not much. But there is a little, thus, that is different, children, than the wayside hearer. Thus we have the distinction between historical faith and temporary faith. Because that wayside hearer, there is no depth at all. There is no soil at all. It is completely hard. And so we have heard of that historical faith, that there is actually no entrance at all into the heart of a man. The birds of the air, they take it away. That there is no emotion, that with a hard heart, they are able to listen to that gospel being preached. Thus, temporary faith, that is not that hard heart. There is at least a little bit of soil. And thus you feel that we come closer. And that is why it is so important that we examine our heart and our life, because we feel that it is coming closer. There is some soil. Temporary faith that is not necessarily hypocritical. We may rather call it imaginary. What is the difference? Well, with temporary faith, then a person sincerely believes that he possesses through faith. Thus, with temporary faith, a man, he is not walking, attempting to have a mask, wherein he may deceive his neighbor. But in temporary faith, a man is actually deceiving himself. He is not a recipient of the Spirit's work. He does not know the Spirit's work. And he makes a great error in a human way to take this natural, this common work of the Spirit for that saving work of the Spirit. Can he know it? He has the means to know it. That is the Holy Word of God. But there is a presumption in the bottom of his heart, which is actually that temporary faith. And that presumption that is preventing him from having that very close examination of himself, so that actually he does not have uprightness in that close examination. So we would say he is not upright in it. He is not fair in it. He leans to favor himself, to deceive himself. Oh, there is a little earth. But it lacks something. If there is a little, that means it lacks depth. And that is what Christ says. He says there is no deepness of earth. He says it is shallow. He says it is superficial. That is the characteristic that Christ himself attributes
to temporary faith. No root in himself. You say the root must be in Christ. That is true. In an objective way, that root must be in Christ. But there is another root. Read the late Reverend Verhunt's article once again about the characteristic of the preaching of the NRC. And then he shows that so plainly in there, that there is also a foundation which must be laid within us. And that foundation is in the knowledge of our misery. How do you get deepness of earth, children? The husbandman, how does he get deepness of earth? You say, well, he brings out the plow. That is right. And that plow, that will begin to turn over that soil. Does that go before the sowing or after the sowing? You say that goes after the sowing. How does the Spirit of the Lord plow? The Spirit of the Lord, the plow of that Spirit is His law. And this congregation is missing in temporary faith. Missing altogether? No. There is a little earth. It is not altogether missing. But that law's preparation for faith, that room-making work of that Holy Spirit, there can be a depth of conviction or a seeming depth of conviction, which is not saving. Think about Judas. We would say that was so deep that he went and hung himself. But congregation, actually, it was not so deep at all. Actually, it was shallow. Actually, it was superficial. Why? Because it never penetrated past himself. The depth of conviction is not a matter of the intensity of our feelings. Because we all have feelings. And many of our feelings, they are so completely natural. Guilt is a natural feeling. There is not one man, boy or girl, in this whole church that does not have guilt. Shame, that is a natural feeling. The fear of death, a natural feeling. The desire to be happy. A natural feeling. Hope. A natural feeling. But now the depth of conviction that penetrates further than myself. The depth of conviction that penetrates unto God. That penetrates unto that God whom we have left in paradise. That depth of conviction that grieves over the loss of the communion with the Lord. Temporary faith never becomes truly a sinner before God. Temporary faith congregation speaks with one word.
Will you listen, young people? What is that word that temporary faith speaks with? It is the word grace. Or we would say the name Christ. That is the word temporary faith speaks with. True saving faith that speaks with two words. What are they? That is sin and grace. That is sin and Christ. Thus, is it necessary for us to persecute the Church of God with Saul of Tarsus in order for us to receive that depth of conviction that is necessary unto true saving faith? Not at all. Not at all. And you have not to live, young people, which is sometimes the thought of the youth, that I have to live outward in outward sin in my youth, that I may be converted unto God later. It is the thought that proceeds from hell. When the Lord would speak in this day and say one word and say that you are altogether lighter than vanity, then all your life and all your religion that will go on one heap in one moment, and you will become a sinner before God. Wherein is the depth of that conviction? It is in the sight of the sinfulness of my existence before the Lord Himself. So that in the sight of God, I am one who is spilt upon the ground and I cannot be gathered up again. Created in His image, rebelled against Him. That has not only to do with the miserableness of my own condition and my state, that has everything also to do with a grief in my soul that I have offended God Himself. That there is grief in heaven because of me. Thus it needs not be with every depth of emotion that a man can experience in this world, but that heart that mourns before the Lord, that is not in a clamorous and a noisy way before the face of men, no. But that is taking place within the secret chamber before the countenance of the Lord Himself. Not much earth. That is temporary faith, sufficient earth, that we may have a nice form of religion before man. But no more. And when my evident fault that is perceived by a discerning soul, and I am warned, even in a loving way, then I say, look to yourself. Who madest thou a judge over me? And it is the evidence of that presumption the desire for present ease, that I may go through this world without concern, to have an easy life and looking forward to an easy death. But how great will our disappointment be? Let us sing 384, 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 384. Temporary faith, not much earth, grounded in emotion. Does emotion not belong to true saving faith? Certainly. Certainly. But in true saving faith, there is more than emotion. And if the Lord will give it, we hope to see that further. Not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Forthwith they sprung up. What is that? That is, straightway they sprung up. Immediately they sprung up. What is it that is an uncommon, sudden appearance? Here in Alberta, we are not unfamiliar with the law of the farm. And what is the law of the farm? That is hard, diligent work for a long period of time, the whole season. That is the way we receive our food. That is the way we receive our drink. You cannot rush it. Why not? Because that is the way that the Lord Himself would have it. It was always that way. From the beginning. It was that way also in the day of Christ. And thus Christ uses that as an example. As a picture for us. To distinguish one of those characteristics between true saving faith and a mere temporary faith. A faith that will not last. Man, congregation, he is in a hurry. For whatever reason, he is in a hurry. He is carried away with a sudden impulse of zeal. One is anxious and looks for present rest. Another is desirous to be seen in order that he may have an office in the church. Another, well, we can go on and on. All different motives that do live in the heart of a person. So he is in a hurry. But congregation, the Lord in general, he is not in a hurry. Conviction and conversion, they do not happen to a man overnight. The Lord is free, yes. For Saul, it was 3 days. But congregation, it is not the Lord's common way. What did Isaac say to Jacob? He says, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" Did he have a right to ask that? Certainly. He said, "It is not normal." "No, immediately you come back." And Jacob closed his mouth. How did Jacob close his mouth? He said, "The Lord brought it to me." That was in his deceit. To take the name of the Lord upon his lips. And what can Isaac say? Is it possible? Yes. That is possible. That he has gone out and the Lord brought it to him. Indeed, it is possible. But the thoughts of Isaac's heart, they were so correct. Temporal faith. Forthwith they sprung up. Temporal faith that is springing up quickly, and it is often boasting immediately of the highest gifts. It is no sooner born than it speaks. It is no sooner speaking and it is able already to know that God is his Father. And has all of those great assurances which are the desires of all of God's children.
but without understanding, without experience, and without foundation. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Joy. Joy, that is also a distinction. A distinction with what? Well, we heard historical faith that has no joy. It has no sorrow, and it has no joy. It has nothing but intellect. Thus, it is deeper. Deeper than that historical faith. And those with historical faith, they can look on that joy and say, ah, there is now the work of God. Because indeed there is some depth, there is some emotion, there is some feeling. Herod heard John the Baptist gladly. Simon the sorcerer wondered at the signs of the apostles. And Paul, congregation, he speaks even of those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. Tasted of the heavenly gift. And were partakers of the Holy Ghost. And yet, they fell away. You say, how is that possible? That someone can taste of that heavenly gift and be a partaker of that Holy Ghost and yet fall away. It is written in the Word of God. Thus, that partaking of that Holy Ghost is so evidently in a common way, so that it is possible for a person, by the common operation of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, to taste of that heavenly gift, to enjoy something of the savor of the blessedness of Christ with joy. So close, the Lord says in His Word, that it can come. The Holy Spirit revealing His truth to the conscience of a person and producing a certain conviction in the conscience, promptings of the conscience. Self-love, prompting a person to assent to the truths of the gospel. Intrigued by the newness of it. By the connection of the truths, by the harmony of the gospel. That he ascends to it. Maybe the fear of death that is driving him to receive those truths that before he has completely disregarded. Christ appearing desirable in his invitations of the gospel so that he thinks to love him, that he thinks to trust him, that he thinks to believe in him, and having done so, he presumes that his state is good, and others, they are saying, surely it is well with you. But Christ never revealed to his soul. Because there was never actually a need for him. Calvin, he says that that temporary faith can never have more than a confused sense of grace, taking hold of the shadow rather than the substance. How can it be discerned? How can a man know? What can a man look for within himself in that way of reflecting upon that faith? Well, that true saving faith that embraces Christ for a purpose, that embraces Christ as a Savior from sin unto holiness. That is not so with temporary faith. Temporary faith also embraces Christ, but it does not desire to be delivered from sin and to be made holy by Him. But it desires and it takes hold of Him in order that He may be delivered from the punishment and that He may receive a present ease, a present rest. It has all to do with that foundation. It has all to do with that depth of that conviction, whether that conviction of sin has ever penetrated further than the selfish desires of his own heart. The Spirit of the Lord that declares why Christ came into this world. Our children know that. Why, boys and girls? You say he came to save his people from their sins. That is right. That is now what must be embraced by saving faith. A Christ who came to save from sin. Thus, when there is no knowledge of sin, when there is no grief of sin, then there is no need for that Christ who is declared unto us in the gospel. For whom is that blessing reserved? And unto whom is that blessing proclaimed? We read it is for those that hunger and that thirst after righteousness, not for all those who desire to be delivered from the punishment. No, but for those who hunger and who thirst after righteousness. Thus, temporary faith certainly can never have more than a confused sense of the grace of Christ because, reverently speaking, they don't know what to do with Him. Congregation, the Lord Jesus said to the scribe, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." What will that be? To be not far from the kingdom of God. And yet, on the outside of it, there is no one that comes so close to the kingdom of God and that yet falls away than a person that has temporary faith. But Christ, He said, that every plant that my Father hath not planted, that shall be rooted up. And that is
though they are those tares that will be gathered by the angels of the Lord on that last and great day and burned. Therefore, Christ, he says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. No, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Thus, the great difference between temporary and saving faith in its endurance, in its firmness, like the gourd of Jonah that came up in one night and withered in a night. Not that it cannot last to the last day of our life, but it is, congregation, that it will disappoint us. It will disappoint us in the end of our life. It is losable. It is not grounded in God. It is grounded in man. And often it cannot endure the afflictions and the persecutions of this world, but certainly it will not endure the trial at the judgment seat of God. Oh, there is a difference. And that there is a difference between the love of a servant and the love of a son. Is the love of a servant not true? Does it not exist? Is there no such thing? Sure there is. It exists. It is there. But it is an entirely different thing than the love of a son. And that almighty eye of God that does penetrate, congregation, to the inmost recesses of our heart. Matthew Mead, he says, true faith that may fail in its act, like Peter, but it does not fail in its habit. It sometimes may lack sap in the branches, but it does not lack sap in the root. In the root that is always there. And so it is found so often in the quiet of the land. Congregation, we have to close. But how much reason does not each and every one of us have for a self-examination, lest we possess a faith, a so-called faith that is going to fail us in the end? Does our soul invite, does it invite that true, close examination by God and by our fellow discerning men? Does it invite it? Let us ask ourselves. Or does it repress it? Because there is now a mark of distinction between true saving and temporary faith. Oh, does our heart truly say from its very bottom, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The conscience of every one of us speaks. When our conscience speaks, then what is going on in our heart? Do we have a desire just to repress that conscience because it is not nice? To repress it with excuses? Or do we acknowledge our conscience and the Lord in the way of departing from that sin that our conscience is warning us about. It is about the uprightness of our heart. Did the Lord, by His Spirit, ever show you and convince you that you are so completely empty, empty of every right work, of every right word, of every right thought and motive in your heart, so void of all good before the all-knowing God after you were created in His image? And does this grieve you? Did the Lord, congregation, ever show to you? Did He ever reveal to you His only begotten Son? Did Christ ever become precious to your soul? How did that happen? Was that by word and spirit? When did that happen? Where were you when that happened? What went before it? What followed after it? Can you tell? What is the cause that you have seen, you say, preciousness in Christ? Was it only for justification? Or was it also for sanctification? Was it only that you may be forgiven and delivered from the punishment? Or was it also that you may be delivered from sin itself and be received into that blessed communion of that God whom your soul misses? Oh, did you ever need Him, congregation, that Son of God, as a mediator between God and your soul, in order that you may be received again by that God whom you have left yourself in paradise? O congregation, God forbid that we should have a name to live and be dead. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou open our eyes and give to us a self-examination? We have tried to lay it before this our flock. Lord, thou knowest all our shortcomings. But oh, that thou thyself may bless it, if indeed, Lord, it is wrong with us. Oh, that that arrow of thy Spirit may so penetrate our heart in this day, that we may go out of this place saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, may it be for the welfare of thy people, and they are so afflicted and poor in themselves, and have often so many questions. But wilt thou thyself deliver them, and grant them a token for good? Go with us in this day. Keep us from sin. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Give a desire to read thy word and all that is based thereon, that we may not follow in this day our own thoughts and own desires, but that we may hallow thy Sabbath day
and receive thy blessing. Be with us in the week to come. Thou knowest each one in our place in this world. Remember us also when we hope to gather in this day and in the day of tomorrow, beginning again our catechism season. Lord, that thou may give us what is needed, and that we may bring the doctrines of thy word, also in confession classes, to our young and rising generation. O, give to them the fear of thy name in the days of their youth, a cry, a longing, a desire, and when they come up, that they may hear, and that they may say, Lord, give me also a receiving heart. Wilt thou make it easy in this season, Lord, that thou may keep from all danger and accident in this day and in this week again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 439, the third stanza. Whom have I, Lord, in but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy but thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning. The third stanza of Psalter 439.
Sings close.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.